and the librettist, and we all had a kind of a meeting, and then there were several meetings, and it was decided that it should be, Kurt Adler went out, and there was a young conductor at that time who was with the States Opera, and his name was Leutner. Kurt or Karl Leutner, I forgot. After the war, he was still with the opera, and even wrote Eric. But then we lost track of him. Mm-hmm. He went to Japan, I think, with the Philharmonic. And then we lost the track of him. He was supposed then to conduct the thing. And the Schönbrunn Schlosstheater was like a branch of the opera.
I see.
It belonged to this complex, to the state. Mm-hmm. They put on lighter sinks and smaller sinks there. And there they planned the performance. I think one of the last meetings of this, and it was already very much in the planning stage, it should have begun in May. Or in April even. That was in March, and Hitler came into Vienna in March 13th, so that ended all of this.
That's amazing. So as far as we know, the piece had to wait until 1952?
Yeah.
When it was finally premiered in Los Angeles. And here we see Eric's comic gift projected into an entire opera. We see his love of lyrical melody. We see passages that are even sensuous. The love duet, certainly.
Yeah.
One of the greatest movements he wrote. We see counterpoint surfacing again, this love of the Baroque procedure with the marvelous wedding fugue. But there's also a place you say that, you've told me several times, anticipates the later Zeisel. This is a quartet.
Oh, yeah, the quartet, which has these very dark, somber tones. I think it is really the highlight of the piece, as far as musical value, to me at least.
Yeah.
Is concerned, and it has the words "every road is long," you know,
right.
Which means, you know, we have to struggle along. And this was, of course, very much what he felt. And I must tell you that the giving lessons and being, newly married, which was for him, you know, having left his parents and everything, mm-hmm. Which was obviously kind of a very traumatic experience, and composing at the same time took so much strength of him that by the end, when he had composed all this in the summer, there began something like a very, very marked depression. He just went deeper and deeper into this thing, and I would come home from the office when I was able to, because I was so concerned. It was really a very, very terrible thing. There he would be in the room, maybe at 11 o'clock, and the curtains were drawn completely. And he said, "Everything is so dark." And I said, "But of course it's dark, open the window." But I mean, he was really in a very deep depression.
Mm-hmm.
I think what had begun this, that I didn't understand how much strength he had used up, one time I suggested, and I said, we should have a baby, And I think this fear, this was such an extreme fear that he completely withdrew into himself. And he was so shocked, he was almost shocked out of his senses by the very idea of having this burden. Which he wasn't prepared for. And it was dumb of me. And then, of course, left this idea completely. But the damage was done. This whole time, he did not compose anything. In November, he tried the one piece, and that was, I think it was the Souvenir, or it was the Shepherd's Melody, I don't quite remember. One of the November pieces, and left off again. Because he was not capable of doing anything. This depression was too strong. And I fought like a lion, not to let him have psychiatric care, because I had seen him, the state in which he was
in.
After